Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Our reading this morning is taken from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory.
It is always a blessing to be together to worship, and as we think about today, as there is in the next few days going to be a transition, as so many will be going back to school, it's a blessing to focus our thoughts on things that are important at that time. And for those of you who might have missed the announcement earlier, we are going to have a picture that's taken of all of our teachers and staff members and everyone who works with the school. If you're thinking to yourself, I work for a school, I wonder if that means me, the answer is yes. We want you to come up and have a special prayer for you, and then for all of our students of every age. We're thankful for them as well, and we want to remember them. One of the things that we have done this year is we've looked at a verse each month to remind us that our God is able. Let's say Psalm 147 and verse 5 together. Great is our Lord and abundant in power. His understanding is beyond measure. And that's going to be especially important as we think about today's question. Over the last few weeks, we have been looking at some big questions. These are questions that were sent in by our community when asked what questions they would ask if they had a moment just to ask God one question. What would that be? And a lot of those questions centered around the meaning of life. Here are just a few that we received. God, I know that you have a purpose for everyone, but my only question is, what is mine? Or this one, I'm okay living a life of pain, however, I do want to know why, and is this my only purpose in life? Or the third, how can I better serve you in my time on earth? Where do I belong? What am I supposed to learn from pain, heartache, and suffering? These are powerful questions. They're important questions that all seem to point to this general idea, what am I here for? What am I here to do? Why have I been created? What is my purpose in life? Now, it may seem a little ambitious to try to, in one sermon, answer the question, what is the meaning of life? But the comfort we have in Scripture is knowing that we serve a God who created us and who has given us a meaning and a purpose in life. In fact, in 2013, there was a poll done by the Center for Disease Control that said 4 out of 10 Americans have not discovered a satisfying life purpose. When they were asked, do they have a satisfying life purpose, 4 out of 10 said that they didn't. A quarter of Americans, almost 25% of Americans, believed that they were either neutral or didn't have strong feelings on whether they had purpose and meaning in their own lives. And so if we look around, we can find people constantly asking this question. Maybe this is even a question that you have this morning. And you can look all kinds of places to find answers for meaning in life. In fact, if you were to do just a search on the internet, you'd find a lot of articles that promise to give you answers to meaning and purpose in life. But here's what I think is interesting. Many of them will say you need to start asking some specific questions. And there'll be good questions like, what does your heart desire? What gives you fulfillment? Where is your strength? What are some of your strengths? And they're good questions if we're deciding what job we want to pursue. And they're good questions if we're maybe deciding, what do I want to do with my life and how do I want to serve? But are they really good questions for determining what my purpose is? Not too long ago, there was a professor named Hugh Moorhead from the Northern Illinois State University. And he wrote 250 scholars and philosophers and thinkers and writers that were accomplished scholars and in the world of academia. And he asked them the question, what is the meaning of life? And he got a lot of interesting responses back. Some said, well, here's what I think. Here's the best I can do with it. He even had a few very accomplished people in the realms of philosophy and of scholarship that said, if you find out what the meaning of life is, could you write me back and tell me? Could you let me know what you discover? He published those all in a book. It's fascinating to think about the fact that even those who put hours and hours of academic effort and scholarship into these philosophical questions still struggle. And I think at the core of that struggle is the desire we have somehow to find those answers from within ourselves. We want to look within ourselves and say, okay, what's my purpose for living? I want to find myself. I want to look inside myself and find what my purpose is. Now, if I live in a world that was created by God and I didn't create it, if I have a body that was created by God, I didn't create it, if I have a life that was created by God and I didn't create it, then does it really make a lot of sense for me to say, even though I didn't create anything around me, I think I can be in charge of finding my purpose in life. I think I'm going to look inward. And so this morning I want to encourage us, we're created by God. Doesn't it make sense if I'm searching for meaning and purpose that I wouldn't look inside, but I'd look outside? Not inward, but outward. I would look at Him. And so the first thing I want us to remember this morning as we answer this question is we are created by God. Again, that might sound like an elementary concept in a sermon in a church building. I mean, sure, everyone should know we're created by God. But think about the difference that makes in my life if I believe I'm not accidental, I'm specifically created by God. Here's the way the Genesis account describes creation in Genesis chapter 1. If you look at verse 26, then God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him. Male and female, He created them. Do you notice what comes up more than once in just these two verses? This idea of being made in the image of God. It changes the way I think about myself. If I realize I'm created in God's image, there's dominion over the other animals, over fish of the sea, birds of the air, livestock. If you look at the next couple of verses, when we get to verse 29, God said, behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit, you shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the heavens, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food. And it was so. God set up the way that the world works. And from the very beginning, there's only one being that was created by God we read about being made in His image and in His likeness. And human beings were given a special role. A role over which they had the responsibility in the Garden of Eden to take care of the garden. They were over the plants and the animals, all of this creation, and yet God created human beings in His own image. If I'm trying to search for meaning in life, maybe I should reflect on the fact that I'm created by God and I'm created in His image. I love the way that the psalmist describes what it means to be fearfully and wonderfully made. In Psalm 139, just listen to these statements. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. If I understand I'm created by God, then I understand where to look for my purpose. The psalmist is saying, you had plans for me before those days ever came. Before I was even born, you had a purpose for me. I think that's powerful. We've been created by God. And that also changes the way we understand each other. It changes the way I treat someone if I understand he or she is made in the image of God. It changes the way I feel about certain actions. For example, if we think about the protection needed for an unborn life, an unborn child, we understand the importance of that if we know that we're all created in God's image, that I don't have a right to take that life. I don't have a right to do something to what God has created in His image. It changes the way I relate to everyone. And that's why I think when we have discussions about creation, and sometimes we have a discussion about, well, someone might say, I don't believe God created the earth. I believe that we've evolved, and it's just a long process of evolution. There's a lot we could say about that, but just for the sake of where we are this morning, just think of what that does to our understanding of ourselves. If all we are is just an accident that sort of developed over years and years and years and years, how does that change the way we relate to others? How do I understand the world around me if there was no creator who gave me something that is unique and that is different and I'm made in His image? If that's not the case, then how do I understand the world around me? How do I understand morality if there's no creator? In Mere Christianity, C.S. Lewis talked about when he lived a life as an atheist, as someone who didn't believe in God and even adamantly argued against God. He said his argument was that the world is terrible, and because of that, he believed there was no God. But then he stopped to think, where did I get the idea of what's good and bad? Where did I get the idea of what's terrible? Where did that come from? If not from the morals that we see in Scripture and being created in God's image. So how do I understand the world if I don't understand I'm a creation of God? And so it's important to begin this question to know I'm created by God. And not just I'm created by God, but Scripture tells us time and time again, I am loved by God. It's not enough to believe that there's a force that created the world. I need to know what Scripture tells me about the God who loves His creation. It would be easy to say, well, sure, there's kind of a nameless, faceless force, I'm sure, that is in charge of all this. But it's something quite different to say, there is a God who loves me. And Scripture gives us that time and time again. I don't know when the last time was you've really reflected on the idea that God loves us. Think about some of the happiest times in our lives. Some of the joy that we feel for people we love. Not too long ago, my sister and her husband had a little boy. And it was very exciting. It was an exciting time around our family. And you can just imagine, we've had several in this congregation that have had children recently. And you know what it's like to be in the room and to be looking at a child. And when you see people that you love and you see the birth of a new child, you just can't help but smile. Now, I believe, if I understand Scripture correctly, that God loves us. I believe the joy that's reflected in the smiles we have for our loved ones is the same kind of joy that God experiences for us. He loves us. When we see loved ones hurting, we get a sense of how God feels for His creation, suffering and hurting. It matters that we know that God loves us. And if we know that we're loved by God, notice what Scripture says happens. We were in Psalm 139 just a moment ago. I want to back up one psalm. Psalm 138. We have the Psalm of David recorded that describes the love of God, the faithful love. And then I want us to notice this very last verse. The Lord will fulfill His purpose for me. Your steadfast love, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the work of your hands. Isn't that interesting that when the psalmist knew that God loved him, he said, God loves me and He's going to fulfill whose purpose? His purpose in me. I'm going to be able to do what God wants me to do. I know that He loves me, He's going to be faithful to me, and He can fulfill His purpose in me. Or we might think about what Paul told those who were gathered around in Acts chapter 17 on Mars Hill, when he was describing the God that they didn't understand. And he said, He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God in the hope that they might feel their way toward Him and find Him, yet He is actually not far from each one of us. Who is the one that would be in charge of the meaning of life, if I'm asking the question? Paul says, there is no nation that has ever existed that existed outside the creation of God. He said, this is not just something that the Jews believed as he's there in Greece. He's saying, this is a God over all nations. He created us all. And over in Scripture, God's love is for all. And that if I want to find a plan and purpose in life, I need to stop thinking about what I believe my purpose is and start asking, well, what does God say that my purpose is? It may look different in the way we're living out our purpose as Christians. We might have different contexts and different families and workplaces, but overall, shouldn't we be looking to God to find the meaning of our lives? Not only did He create us and He loves us, but we also get this message in Scripture over and over again. We are redeemed by God. It's not even enough to say that God created us and God loves everyone. I can't just stop there. I need to know what that love means. That love means God's offered a way for me to be redeemed. If I skip that part, then I'm really not going to be able to understand my meaning in life. If I skip that part, I'm going to be missing something important. And notice the messages that God has for people that He has redeemed. For example, when we get to the end of Matthew in this Great Commission in Matthew chapter 28, where He says, you go into all the world and you're teaching and you're baptizing and continuing to teach what I've given you. When people are redeemed, they have a responsibility. And so as Jesus is leaving His apostles with a responsibility, He's saying, this is going to be your job. This is going to be your mission. As Christians, by extension, that's our mission. God redeems us, but He gives us a responsibility. If I'm redeemed by God and I'm looking for purpose, that's a good place to begin. Or maybe I think about what He wrote to the church in Ephesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, when He describes their nature as Christians, He says in verse 8, by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. But then notice what He says next. He's reminding them, this is because of the love and redemption of God. This is what God has given you. But notice what happens in verse 10. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So if I understand I've been created and loved and redeemed by God, Paul is saying, I know that I'm created for good works. That there are specific things that God has for me to do. There's a specific life that God wants His people to lead. And I'm not going to be able to look through the pages of Scripture and find my name, you know, first, middle, and last name, living in Columbia in the 21st century, and here's exactly what you need to do day by day. But what God does give us is how Christians should live. And He has placed us in the context where we are. God has planned for us to be living in the time we're living in, and His purpose for our lives is for us to follow His will in this time. Now I've got the choice whether or not I want to do that. I can decide if I'm going to submit to His will and search for His purpose, or I can decide if I want to keep looking inwardly and find my own. That's why I like that passage that we read in Colossians chapter 3. Because there's a phrase that's used here by Paul when he says, because we're being raised with Christ, we're seeking those things. We're setting our minds on things above. Our life is hidden with Christ. And then in verse 4, when Christ, who is your life. It's not just enough to say, I believe that Jesus Christ lived. It's not even just enough to say, I believe mentally that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I have to make Him my life. If I want my life to have meaning, it has to be is exemplified by the life that Christ lived. I have to be looking for ways to set my mind on things above and to live according to His Word. And that's important. Because it's hard for us to answer this question about the meaning of life without thinking about eternity. And I've tried thinking about a few different examples of eternity that I've seen used over the years. The first of which is a professor in the science department at Fried Hardeman when we were in college, who was famous for an illustration he had of eternity. In the science building, they had those big chalkboards. I don't know, they're probably all dry erase boards now or smart boards, but then there were chalkboards. And he took a piece of chalk and he said, I want to describe to you life. And he would put a little dash for life. And he would say, here is eternity. And I was never in the class where he did this, but this was kind of a legendary thing that got talked about on campus, where he took the chalk, he drew the line all the way across the chalkboard, and then onto the wall, and then around the side of the wall in the room, and then out the door and down the hallway, and then he just never came back to class. And that was sort of his way of illustrating the point. I don't know if there were 5 minutes left in that class or what, but that's what got discussed. I thought that was a pretty good illustration. Of course, no illustration is going to be perfect, but isn't that a reminder of our life compared to eternity? I have another one that I've seen used before. I'm going to ask Will to come up and help me. Our interns have one more Sunday with us, so I've got to put Will to work here. But here you go. I'm just going to ask you, just unroll this rope. You may have seen this. It's been used several different places, but I think it's a good illustration. I may have knotted that up here. This is why we should have rehearsed this. Okay, here we go. But if you keep unrolling that, if you think about life as a length of rope like this, and let's say this extends all the way out. Let's say it could even extend out through the parking lot and all the way through Columbia and through the rest of the country. And we think about our life in light of eternity. If this is a timeline and this is eternity, and here's my life, and it's represented here by just this wide area right here, and I'm focused on what I'm doing here. If I'm living this part of my life in view of eternity, how does that change the decisions that I make? Does it seem short-sighted if I start worrying about just one little stretch of life right here? If I stop worrying about just one little stretch of, well, what is school going to be like? What's my job going to be like? What about my eternity? Isn't it amazing how wrapped up we get in just this one part of life? And did you notice that many of the questions we had about the meaning of life have to do with, why am I dealing with this right now? And I believe Scripture gives us one of the reasons to persevere in life is because what we're dealing with right now is not permanent. What we're dealing with right now is really just a prelude to all of this. But what I do here makes a difference in where I spend eternity. And so I've got to make my choices in this brief time I have to change where I spend the rest of my time. I can't think about the meaning of life without thinking about that. There's one other illustration I'd like for us to use, and so we'll get Will to roll up some of this high-quality rope that I've got here. And then I want to just sort of drill down even a little bit further. What if we were to zoom in on this section right here? And so let's think about what our life will be like, because no illustration is perfect. That's not going to be just exactly the way life works. But what if, if you'll hold this side right here, what if this whole stretch of rope right here, this is our life. This is my life. And once I get to the end of my life, I'm not going to have time as I know it, 1 minute after the next one. I'm going to be in eternity. That's going to be totally different. And here's the thing. If this is us, and this is our life, we don't know how far along we are. Have you ever thought about that? We might think we have a long way to go before we get to the end, before we get to eternity. Or we might not have as far to go as we think that we do. And so our decisions matter, because we don't know where we are on this span of time. And we don't know exactly what's coming next. And so why does it matter that I look outwardly instead of inwardly? It's because I don't know where I am. I don't know how much longer I've got, but I know that what I'm doing each day, each step of the way, could make a big difference in eternity. Thank you. Well, I appreciate that. As we think about these different illustrations, as we think about some different ways to envision this, I hope this gives us a visual picture of what happens when we think about eternity. Because we don't know what's going on from day to day. We don't know exactly where we're going to end up, but we can know that God created us, that He loves us, and that He will redeem us. In the very beginning, we talked about Genesis chapter 1. You know, there's something else we read about in creation, in Genesis. We read about a tree of life that was there in the Garden of Eden. The tree of life was available to Adam and Eve. In fact, it wasn't until sin enters the world, till they choose to sin, that they're cast out of the garden and that they don't have access to that tree of life. But when we get to the end of Scripture, and when we're looking at the book of Revelation, and we're getting a glimpse at the very end of the book of Revelation of life to come, the tree of life shows up again. If we're looking for meaning in life, we can find it in our creation and know that the God who created the tree of life, who offered that in the very beginning to Adam and Eve, offers that to us again. It's almost as if the Bible is a tale of two different trees going from the tree of life here to the tree of life in eternity. And the question is, what choice am I going to make? Am I going to decide to be there? Or will I do what we see happen in Genesis chapter 3, where Adam and Eve started looking at the short-sighted goal instead of the long-term goal and decided to take matters into their own hands? If I look inwardly for the meaning of life, I'm going to be frustrated. I'm going to be discouraged. I will never find a life's purpose that is satisfying outside of God. I just won't find it. Not because I'm not good enough to find it, but because it doesn't exist outside of the God who created the world around us. But if I want a life that I can have confidence in, that has meaning and that has purpose, I'm going to look to Him and to His Word. And so this morning you have the opportunity, if you want to become a child of God, if you want to decide to make a decision in that part of your life, that tiny part that determines where we live for the rest of eternity, you can do that this morning. It may be that you have another need in your life, that you're struggling and you just need prayers and encouragement. God's designed the church, and one of the purposes of the church is that we walk together through difficult times. If there's any way we can help, please come as we stand and as we sing together.